Hey yo, welcome to the podcast, the liberated educators with two brothers already and able sit at the table. It's Ken Sheldon, D. Linnea. Yeah, y'all ain't doing this. They're purely intellectuals and equity enthusiasts, creating change by shifting the conversations, critical to our culture, to our people, to our nation. And for the record, yeah, they talking education. Yeah, they talking about building our own, cause we've been patient. A CPT concept, three different segments that's jam-packed with content we all can invest in. Breaking that chain called tradition, the critical conversations on issues, but y'all listen. They ain't talking about it late, y'all just hearing it. So sit back, relax, tune in, and be a part of this. You know how hard it is, they know you want greater. They know you want the liberated educator.
Get that a 6'9". Big old dude. I mean, it's kind of like, oh, I don't know if you ever saw it in the video, some dude tried to test Robert Ori. These might be retired athletes, but you need to remember, they are big men.
Listen, I'm old enough to remember the story where there was a fan that was mouthing off to Charles Barkley.
That was a mistake. Oh, but, to the window!
But here's the thing.
To the wall.
To the wall. I had an opportunity to meet Charles Barkley in person at a fight in Las Vegas. I was a big fan of Charles Barkley because I was like, this dude is tough as nails. And the story of where I became a fan of his was when he was trying out for the Olympic team in 1984 and Bobby Knight was the head coach. And the story, and I learned this from, I forgot who told me this, but it was one of the guys who played basketball at UCLA when I was there. We were classmates. So the story goes that during one of the workouts, you had a bunch of NBA scouts there because obviously they were going to look at, this is another opportunity for them to see players, you know, the best of the best competing against each other coming out of college. And so Bobby Knight, the type of coach he was, said, no dunking. So Barkley, what does he do during scrimmage? Dunked the ball.
Smash that
ball. Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And he's like, you know, and of course Bobby Knight gets all pissed off and is like, I'm the coach, no dunking. And if I remember correctly, there was an instance where while they were scrimmaging, he dunked in an offensive rebound. And so then Bob Knight took him out. And you know what? That's when the NBA scouts were like, this dude is a high first round draft pick. Because he didn't care about the Olympics. Well, you know, they don't get paid for the Olympics. He was just like, look, I'm here to be me.
Right.
So at any rate, so I met him at this fight. And I was just like, look, man, I got mad love for you. I got to give you props. I'm a Laker fan, but I appreciate ballers. You're a baller. Shook this dude's hand. Let me tell y'all something. Charles Barkley was listed, I think, at 6'5". He was probably more like 6'4". Right. He was called a round mound rebound for a reason. Dude looked like an offensive tackle. Okay? He was not small. Nope. But his hands, like, if he wasn't a basketball player, he could have easily worked in a meat market where he tenderizes the meat because his hands were that huge.
Just his hands.
His hands were huge. Like, it made sense to me when I would watch where I'm like, this dude, because I know Dr. J, there are like several NBA players. This dude's hand could probably cover half the basketball.
Bro, have I ever shown you the picture of me and Joel Embiid at the airport?
Uh-oh. He's a big dude, too.
That's a big man.
He's 7 foot, though, right?
What was that?
He's 7 foot.
Yeah.
No, he's listed at 7 foot, which means probably more like 6'9". But he's still a big guy.
No. He's at least 6'10". He's at least 6'10".
All right, but he's not 6'10", like, real thin.
No. And this was, like, during the times when, you know, he wasn't getting PT yet. Because remember, like, his first 3 years in the league, he was often injured and all that. Yeah, it was a process.
Yeah, not anymore.
Oh, matter of fact, this is ironic and embarrassing. I happen to be wearing the same shirt I am right now. Okay. Because this is a minute ago.
While you're doing that, let me finish up. So when I heard that story of that dude that was mouthing off to Barkley and threw that drink in his face, I was like, man, this dude must have just seen Rocky or something.
Hey, Rocky. Yeah. Let me get some bonbons and Namulio pay for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Excuse me? Oh, you just saw Rocky.
I was like, man, this dude, you drank that liquid courage because you don't understand. This dude could crush you. Yeah.
I look like a kid.
You look like his little toy in that picture.
I I'm below that dude's shoulder. So the point being, why in the world would anybody talk junk to someone who is clearly much, 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 much bigger than you and is a trained athlete? I don't care if they retired. I don't care if they've been out of the game for a minute. I don't care if they, quote, on injured reserve. But people just, like, lose their minds, think that within certain contexts, they could say and do whatever they want.
And remember, I played football at UCLA, so I was around some really big guys. Right. And I'm talking about guys that weigh over 300 pounds and can run a 40 and 4.7. I watched one of the best athletes I ever had any interaction with, happened to be a teammate of mine, may he rest in power, was Eric Turner. Dude was a free safety, 6'2", 220 pounds. I watched him do almost a 13-foot standing broad jump.
That's crazy.
Yeah, 13 feet, standing broad jump. I watched him with his vertical leap of almost 50 inches. I watched this dude bench press 400 pounds. And so the whole point is, like, you see these athletes, and what you see that looks like no big deal on the court, on the field, wherever it is, it's like, no, it looks no big deal because that's how good they are.
Right.
And this goes back to the conversation we have with our good friend Jim O'Hagan around, quote unquote, a bust.
Kwame Brown's still a
bust. Yeah, see? Yeah, yeah. Let's get Jim back on. Let's talk about that. You know, Jim is one of my guys big time. Let's get him back on.
But here's the difference. Here's definitely the difference. I could say that Kwame Brown is a bust, but if that dude was in my vicinity, there is absolutely no way. So why people think, I'm going to talk junk to this athlete? These are, man, that's like the Malice in the Palace, and dude tried to square up with
Jermaine O'Neal
and Ron Artest,
and then Ron Artest. Like, yeah, they that liquid courage. You got sober real quick.
Got sobered.
Nah, crazy. And Kwame Brown, nah, mad props to Kwame Brown. I'm glad he called them fools out. Like, no such thing. We're going to have to bring Jim back on and have that conversation again.
We have to have that friendly debate.
Yeah. So the whole thing with Juwan Howard, it's like, look, man, you know, he atoned for his behavior. But again, I still go back to the question, why did that coach think that he gave him any consent to put his hands on him?
To get in his face like that, like all of it.
Yeah, man. Like, no,
he is not anyone's boy.
No.
So yeah, it's don't condone violence, but play stupid games, win stupid prizes. That was not a game that should have been played.
Nope. And by the way, why are you calling timeouts when you got a 20-point lead?
Hey, maybe he wanted to put the seniors in. I don't know.
He didn't. I saw the end of that game.
I don't know. There is no benefit of the doubt to be given for somebody who would be as reckless as they was afterwards. So,
exactly.
He was just practicing. That's all.
Listen, yeah. We talking about practice.
Not a game.
We talking about practice.
One of my favorites. That's another one. Talk about tough. Now I
Whoa. We need to talk about the context of that quote.
We do. And AI is one of my favorite athletes ever. You do know that he was a all-state in football too as a quarterback.
The dude was an athletic
monster. One of my favorites. Say that for another recording. And yeah, we're going to have to talk about the context of that. We're talking about practice, man. Not a game. Practice.
Yep. Yeah, so anybody, maybe we'll keep that as a teaser, but do your own homework, like we say all the time. That's like, this is one of the things you and I do all the time. It's like, we're aware of something because we've done the research or it's been brought to our attention. And then other people, regularly, they just want people to spoon feed them information. And I think there's so much more to be had out of doing the homework. So how about we just
save for an episode, because what you just brought up, I think we need to apply that in context. The diversity, equity, and inclusion workshops I do, I cannot tell you how many times in varying ways people ask me to simply give them the binder. They don't know how, and they don't necessarily want to engage in the self-reflective work. They just want, give me the binder.
Yep.
To be continued. Upcoming episodes. To our audience, thank you for listening. Can't wait to engage in more dialogue with all of you, whether it be on the socials or as a guest on the pod, or given the fact that I've been traveling, D's traveling, B's traveling, our producer, we'll hopefully be able to have some of that dialogue in person. And honestly, put it on wax.
And we're putting it on wax. It's the new style.
Yeah. That's just how Ken and D do it. Just picking up the phone, having a chat about some real events, and providing some context to it for our liberation. We thank you for listening to the bonus episode of the Liberated Educator Podcast, and we'll be sure to see you on the inside.